Brethren, welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Brother Chad Johnson with today's message.
Well, it's good to be back on the radio broadcast this week. I feel led of the Lord to stray from the parables once again. I've been preaching through the parables of the New Testament, and I feel like it'd be the Lord's will for me to preach through the book of Psalms, chapter 119. It's got 176 verses. It's a very long psalm, and it's got a lot of content in it, so we'll just go verse by verse and preach through this psalm, and I don't know how long exactly that it will take. It'll take several months, I'm sure, because of our limited time of 15 minutes per week. So let's look here in the book of Psalms, chapter 119. The 119th psalm is unique above all other psalms. First of all, it is the longest chapter in the Bible, totaling 176 verses. The chapter is broken up into 22 paragraphs of 8 verses each. The first word of each verse of these paragraphs begins with the successive characters of the Hebrew alphabet. For example, the first word of each verse of the paragraph begins with the Hebrew character pronounced Alpha, which is the first character in the Hebrew alphabet. The verses of the next paragraph all begin with the second character in the Hebrew alphabet, and so forth. The author is not named, but the style and content clearly point to David, and that David was the writer of the psalm. Some have speculated that this psalm took a lifetime to write, with the earlier portions being written in David's youth and the latter portions in his mature years. The subject matter seems to flow from the enthusiasm of youth in the early paragraphs to the wisdom of maturity and perseverance of an aged saint in the latter ones. There is one primary theme throughout the chapter, and that is the supremacy of the Word of God. Various synonyms are used to describe the Word. Numerous applications of it are mentioned, but three or four verses, God's Word is directly mentioned. Out of 176 verses, the Word of God is directly mentioned in all but three or four verses. Other themes apparent throughout the chapter are obedience to God's Word, dedication to God, the implicit faith in Him. The chapter is the masterpiece of a man who sought the Lord with his whole heart throughout his life. That's one thing that I love about Psalm 119, that it magnifies the Word of God. And we're living in a day where people don't think much about the Word of God. Most people who go to Baptist churches, if they were to write down the amount of time that they spend in the Word of God weekly, it would be a shame. We have a lot of churches have on the board how many brought the Bible, but what I'd like to know is how many have read the Bible and applied it to their life. The Word of God must be read, studied, and then applied to our life. A lot of people, they'll even read the Bible every day. They'll try to read so many chapters and verses to get through the Word of God in a year. And I'm not against that. But I won't say that you'd be better off to read one verse and meditate on it, apply it, absorb it, and get it into your soul and heart than you would to read 10 chapters a day and not know a bit more about what you read when you got done than you did before you started. But the Word of God I'm talking about is a very important part. It's one of the most important things in the life of a Christian. It's the Word of God that brought us to salvation through the convicting of the Spirit. It's the Word of God that's taught us how to live. It's the Word of God that taught us how to conduct ourselves. It's the Word of God that's taught us how to lead our families. It's the Word of God that taught me what kind of church to go to. It's the Word of God that taught me what to look for when I was looking for a wife. It's the Word of God that's taught me about giving and tithing and giving offerings. It's the Word of God that gives me hope and comfort. It's the Word of God that gives me courage and strength to go and stand in these last days. It's the Word of God that gives me hope that everything's going to turn out all right for the saved, that the redeemed of the Lord are in a good standing with God. It's the Word of God that's taught me how, it tells me about prophecy and all the things that we see going on in the Middle East and concerning Israel and even where our nation stands and signs of the times of the coming of the Lord. I'm telling you, I learned all that through the Word of God. The most valuable treasure that a saved person could have in this world is a copy of this Word. When I say the Word of God, I'm talking about the Textus Receptus Greek text and the Masoretic Hebrew text. That's the manuscripts that the early church used and received them and declared them as the Word of God. And they were used by the early church. And the King James Version is the only version that comes from those manuscripts. All your modern versions come from corrupt Alexandrian manuscripts that were tampered with and changed throughout history. And that's where your modern versions come from. When I talk about the Word of God, as far as English-speaking people are concerned, I'm talking about this King James Version, the Word of God. I don't need an NIV or a New American Standard. That's not the Word of God. They're a bunch of powerless books that have no real power of God in them, because they are the works of man, not the works of God. God preserved His Word forever, O Lord. Thy Word is settled in heaven. He preserved His Word. He inspired His Word. The originals were inspired. God inspired. The Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and rebuke and exhortation. I mean, we like to be exhorted through the Word, and I'm glad that the preacher sometime gets up at the Word of God and at the house of God and exhorts us and encourages us, but it's also a rebuke, and that's where the modern day church, they don't want to hear anybody rebuking their sin. They want to be able to run around half naked and strip off like the world and run around to their dances and their concerts and living ungodly and living out like a bunch of dogs, and they don't want anybody to rebuke them. But if you've got a real God called Baptist preacher for a pastor, He will rebuke that sin, not to be mean, not to be critical, not to just be a ramrod, but to be faithful to this Word that we see here in Psalm 119. The Word of God is the supreme thought of this psalm. We see here in verse 1, we'll just go verse by verse and see how the Lord can bless us. The first verse said, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." This blessed psalm begins by invoking blessing. It tells us how to be blessed. How to be blessed in the way. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. The word translated as undefiled has the sense of being without blemish or upright. Oh, that's the blessed state of the redeemed. We are without spot and blemish in our soul. Our position before God, we're justified just as if we never sinned. I know the Armenians can't add. That just blows their mind. My flesh still sins, but the new man in Christ Jesus, that positional justification, my standing before God, I no longer stand as a depraved sinner, but I stand as an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. I stand justified. I'm undefiled in the way because of God's grace. He said, "Blessed are those that are undefiled in the way, without blemish and upright." The broader thought is that of those who keep themselves undefiled by sin in the pathway of life are blessed. See, the Bible said, blessed are the undefiled in the way. And as we look around today, there's so much to defile us. Though, no, if we're in grace and we're in salvation and we're in the blood of Christ, it won't knock us out. We won't fall from grace. There's no such thing taught in the Bible. But I'm telling you, we can get defiled. Our flesh and our old nature is still present. The Bible teaches that the new man is there, but the old nature's there too. And there are so many things that will defile us in the way that we can get mixed up in, and we'll have no influence for the Lord. Our power will be gone. We won't have any power. We won't have any joy. The Bible said that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we can't have joy when we're bound up with sin, when we're jammed up with sin and worldliness. I know the old nature's there, but I'm talking about feeding the flesh on carnality and worldly things. We will be defiled in the way. But the blessed man is one who, though we're walking through this world of sin and sorrow, that there is a way. See, the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 6 that sin no longer has a reign in our mortal body. I'm glad that I don't have to listen to what the sin... When I sin, it's because my old nature wants to, but I don't have to do it. God has made a way that sin no longer... that I'm no longer a servant of sin. It's no longer my master. Though I still sin, I'm no longer bound and in bondage to sin. The Bible said, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. And He said, blessed are the undefiled in the way. The second phrase is kind of the stipulation of this. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Look at the last part of that verse. Who walk in the law of the Lord. There we go. We've already mentioned the Word of God. The Word of God is referred to as His testimonies, His law. The law is the Word of God. It's God's Word. Who walk in the law of the Lord. Those who walk in the law of the Lord will in fact be undefiled. The Bible said you are clean through the Word. This Bible here that I have before me on my desk is like a filter. And anybody that's saved, it'll run their life and read this Bible and let the Word of God run their life through the Bible, run the Bible through their life. It'll filter it out. It'll get the chaff out. Just like when Peter, the Bible said that the Lord said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you. Just like when you sift wheat or flour. I remember Mom used to have an old flour sifter, and she'd sift that flour out, and there would be little specks of dirt in that sifter. And that's what the Word of God will do to a redeemed person. If you'll take this King James Bible and read it and apply it to your life and line your life up with the Word of God. See, that's the problem in our day. Got a lot of people wanting to change the Word of God, but the Word of God's to change me. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. That's the only way we can walk, is in the way of the Lord. God bless you. Our time is coming gone this week. We'll pick up next week in Psalm 119. And we'll finish up verse 1 and then keep going through the chapter. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.